Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 488. This is Kevin DeFrango, back after a nice week off. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is going on, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot there, Kevin. How about yourself?
Well, given recent events, I was told by my wife that I was being a bit grumpy on Sunday. Shahid told me I was a little more grumpy than normal about Raw this week.
I noticed too.
I am gonna pin this on my dearly deceased dog of 15 years, Miss Kia, that maybe my disposition is not the shiniest. Although it was kind of funny, Jeremy says to me, "Well, what you're saying wasn't wrong, so are you really angry when you're right?"
Yeah, Jeremy, that needs to be your role model in life.
Oh, man. So, I do think it is really strange, though, that on the very first show that you introduce change, like, and make it a theme throughout the 5 hours of your main television programming, that very little change happens. And it's kind of funny because this is something else that Jeremy and I talked about, and I think it kind of goes, you know, kind of broad topic-y still, that, it's kind of funny. Didn't really have any problems with Paige as GM.
Oh, no, that's definitely something to talk about.
And I guess it's one of those things, like I said, I think it kind of talks to the issue at large, is that sometimes it isn't, I think a lot of people say, oh, well, the formula's gotta change. Sometimes they have the formula on one show and they don't have it on the other. There have definitely been times where SmackDown has not been as good as Raw. I do feel like, weirdly enough, that I always seem to favor SmackDown more than Raw on a fairly consistent basis over the years. Just because at least allegedly Vince seems to not care about SmackDown quite as much as Raw. from all kind of, you know, backstage stories, like, I don't think that's kind of a bold statement. So I mean, But it's kind of funny. Like, they were using the regular formula on SmackDown, but, you know, Paige was just a good, you know, a face general manager, and they had her on there as much as a GM should be on there. She facilitated matches, and she moved stuff along. Like, she was, like, even on SmackDown tonight, she wasn't chewing scenery like Vince McMahon.
No, you're right. You're exactly right. Paige was doing an excellent job, as you said. You know, she was her role was to facilitate and move the show along, and to, you know, make matches and issue fair rulings. You know, she was a baby face, but you know, it's not like she was booking heels and handicap matches week after week after week or anything like that. No, she was really good at her job, and she is absolutely being punished for the sins of Raw. And that's pretty shitty, and I thought tonight's SmackDown was the worst SmackDown in the last 2 months, personally. I don't think it was a terrible show, but it was lacking something.
Well, there's some things I guess I'm okay with. Rusev and Nakamura, I enjoyed that stuff.
That was good.
I'm trying to think of. Well, you know, it's what I guess it's kind of interesting. Like, I guess I do like the general idea of what the WWE is saying and trying to do with the fresh faces. Mustafa Ali obviously is skilled enough as a wrestler to, you know, I guess he's in that category of, he's definitely skilled enough to hang with the bigger guys. And, you know, there's some of those 205 guys that maybe don't kind of fit the bill, maybe even if they're heavier than Mustafa Ali. Because what do they usually bill him as? I guess I haven't really paid attention, to be honest with you.
Not either.
But I think it's just because he's kind of tall and lanky that he maybe fits in a little bit. But, yeah, and it really helps, too, that SmackDown, you know, still is not the land of the giants. I think we've discussed this kind of on a couple of occasions. It helps that, and who else was in that? Andrade Cien Almas was in that main event match, too. You know, they have a lot of guys that can really go on SmackDown. And having him in the ring with those guys is quite a compliment, but also he didn't look out of place.
He didn't look out of place. The match did kind of come out of nowhere. It had not established after last week that Mustafa Ali was going to be a regular member of the SmackDown roster. Almost hasn't been on TV in weeks and weeks. So it kind of came out of nowhere. They definitely, you know, gave Mustafa Ali the biggest thing he could do. He pinned the champion Daniel Bryan in the middle of a kind of a hot run that Bryan's on, which is interesting. I mean, although once again they've just kind of thrown Mustafa Ali out there. Really explaining who he is to the, let's just say it, millions that don't watch 205 Live.
Yeah.
So if we're going forward with a big push for Mustafa Ali, then they need to do a lot of what they did at 205 Live. They need to explain his story. It's a great story. I'll let him do the type of promos he was doing on 205 Live with, you know, him, you know, on the streets with his just with a single camera. You know, just talking bluntly, honestly, you know, believably. I think if you do that, you could definitely go somewhere. Maybe Mustafa Ali can get a Royal Rumble title shot out of the deal, or even just a title shot on SmackDown. But then you're rushing it, and once again, you're not. If you do it too quickly, and you don't do the setup, because it's something that needs to have a. I don't think Mustafa Ali is gonna win the title or go to WrestleMania as champion or anything. But it would all be in the setup and the attempt and setup of the match itself and the attempt and you know the game attempt by him to, you know, come so close but be defeated in the end. If they do that match, let's just say in the next 2 or 3 weeks on SmackDown and don't really build it up, don't do all the promos, don't tell Mustafa Ali's story, and he just loses to Daniel Bryan again now, he lost last week.
Right.
Then tonight's tag win was a fluke, and Mustafa Ali, you know, goes into the ether, basically.
Well, I will hope that he does not, but I do agree with you in general that, he's probably not going to win even if they wait a longer time, but if they present him and give, and I guess that kind of goes to the hardest of matters too, is that giving people time gets them over. Like, sometimes it's not a hard concept. I know they say, I know that people are always like, Because I always hear the wrestlers talking about, well, if you're only given 5 minutes out there, make it the best 5 minutes ever. Just give, you have so much TV time. Like, it's not the time where there's only 1 hour of TV anymore, or only two. Like, they have 5 hours just on the main television by itself. And it's kind of crazy that their roster as a whole is probably underused. You know, what do they say about Gallows and Anderson hadn't been on SmackDown since August, I believe, was what they said?
I guess that's true, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just another example. Like, even as well as SmackDown has been doing, they have people on their roster that are capable wrestlers that aren't getting any TV time for the most part. Because Sanity, like, they don't need to be in, you know, the title hunt, like that, because that's even a problem on SmackDown for the most part. You know, there hasn't really been anyone that's stepped up on the long term against one of the big three that they've had there. Like, all the Usos, New Day, and The Bar deserve their spot at the top of the order. But I don't know why the team that isn't in the title hunt at that point isn't wrestling one of these other teams, like Sanity or Gallows and Anderson. It's a win-win for everyone, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a win-win to feature more teams that have a thriving, you know, competition in the division. I mean, I think it's time. I wouldn't say to break them up. That would be bad. It's time to, I know we've said this before, it's time to move the New Day away from the tag team division. You can find them another trio to feud with, separate from the tag team championship feud. Start having them in more singles while still, you know, maintaining themselves as a faction. So, yeah, I think New Day's done it all. There's not much more to do with New Day in the tag team division. Usos are a little different story because they're a tag team. They've always been a tag team. You can, you know, move them in and out of contention at will. Move them from Raw to SmackDown, back on to Raw and back. They've been in SmackDown the whole time, so maybe a move to Raw, you know, come springtime or might be good for them. It would definitely be great for the Raw tag team division. Let me tell you.
Yeah, well, and that was kind of funny when Vince talked about there being a shakeup. There was some speculation about the fact that, you know, they might move people on the roster, but this is not what you would call the, and I know it's probably stretching the word traditional, but traditional shakeup, at least for the time being. They're bringing people up, but it doesn't seem like they're trading people on brands.
No, it doesn't sound like they're doing that at all. They're gonna probably save that again for, you know, the week or so after WrestleMania, which is fine. I mean, you've got this one issue that crosses brands between, you know, Ronda Rousey and Charlotte and Becky Lynch, which is good stuff. You know, it's cool that, you know, They can talk shit about each other, and then only see each other like once a month, and you know, where you can keep, you know, throwing gasoline on the fire there, you know, to whatever ends there's going to be at WrestleMania, whether it's a one-on-one match or a threat match or what have you. No, that's all good stuff. Although tonight, do you think that Vince kind of big-footed Becky and Charlotte tonight?
I did think...
Or as you said, shoot-up scenery.
Well, it just seemed like an odd spot for him, to be honest with you.
In his mind, he was putting them over. He was giving them, his rub from, his entire career of being on camera, but in particular his run as authority, as, 20-plus year run as an authority figure and all the stuff with Stone Cold and all that. But him coming out and basically telling Becky and Charlotte to shut up, and then they kind of did, even Becky.
It was kind of weird. Like you said, like, I don't think the intention was there, but it came off that way.
Right.
And like you said, like, I think he's thinking, hey, I'm giving them the rub because they're in the scene with me. And to be honest with you, because that's one of the other things, is that I don't feel like they said it on Raw as much as they said it on SmackDown tonight. They're like, oh, the McMahons are lurking everywhere. And I'm like, oh, no, this is not what I meant at all. Like, if you're thinking that this is what the fans wanted was more of the McMahons on TV, you have sorely misread the situation.
Yeah, there's certainly something to that. I mean, it's kind of the same old for the last 20 years. There have been periods where the McMahons have just been all over TV, and it's to the detriment of the show. I don't think we didn't hit that. I don't know if we crossed that line in the last two nights. We really didn't. They weren't so overpowering of the show. I mean, again, Vince, in his own way, giving the women the rub, and then, doing an amusing segment with The Miz, and that's, that about it for his involvement. Shane was actually less involved on what's supposed to be his own show.
Oh, yeah, it was kind of interesting. He set up the one match on Raw, but he didn't set up anything on SmackDown really tonight. He just took off, basically.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see going forward how much Vince is on TV, period. Because he has not been on TV regularly in a very long time. And he believes, as has been said, that he believes that he's too old to be on camera, every week. But you also have the Shane going to be on Raw and SmackDown both every week. Are Stephanie and Triple H going to make more appearances on SmackDown, which they have pretty much almost never, ever since they started their whole authority gimmick, never really appeared much on SmackDown.
And do they kind of put the authority gimmick to rest with a... I even think with them, especially with Triple H, you can get away with, making him a babyface. I mean, he's kind of cheered a lot, except when Stephanie's by his side.
At this point, you could definitely go the babyface route with them and not have them. They can't help themselves. At least one or more of them are going to be healed within a matter of weeks and months. Triple H, he looked good for a guy who had a surgery to repair it. I was surprised he wasn't still in a sling. That's those superhuman recuperative powers.
I kind of did. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, he did look really good for a guy who had a pretty major surgery recently.
Yeah. Now, if he is, making a ridiculously fast recovery and would be cleared to have a match at WrestleMania, they already did the tease for the Batista deal, and for that to work, Batista would have to be the babyface, and Triple H would have to be the heel. So, I guess he's gonna. He would go back heel.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't know. My brain hurts now.
I mean,
the funny thing is that Batista works in the wrestling sense when he's there for a long time. is a heel, but I think is a one-time thing. If that's all he was coming back for, he's got to be the baby face.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So yeah, if that match is still the direction, although once again, pretty much everything has changed for, you know, from wherever they, whatever they were thinking in October. You know, pretty much the direction of everything has blown up.
Oh.
To get does that Triple H look good, but is he really going to be cleared by WrestleMania? Is Batista's schedule still going to be clear? You know, these are definitely questions there. I mean, I do think that right now the McMahons should stay babyface figures, or you know, just you know, as we mentioned, facilitators of the show. You know, moving the show along, not getting involved in their own storyline. Well, I guess Shane has his deal with The Miz. That maybe that can be the exception.
But that's one of those things that's on SmackDown that I'm just confused by, to be completely honest with you. Like, it has provided some funny segments. Like, The Miz is babyface, kind of clueless guy. His kind of cracked me up, but I'm not quite sure what the end point is here, or what it does for anyone.
I imagine they will actually start teaming, and maybe they'll even win the tag team titles.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of weird just because it's kind of funny. Like, you never think about a McMahon going for tag team titles.
No, it'd be fun. It'd be amusing. It'd be something to do. I mean, once again, they talk about the tag team division on SmackDown, just being the same three teams fighting each other over and over again, that would certainly be something different.
Yeah, it would be definitely a different sort of power team than we've seen in the past. Like, I mean, you kind of accept that the Bar is a tag team in a lot of facets now, rather than being two singles wrestlers who were thrown together.
Yeah. I mean, they've been together for over 2 years now. I mean, they are a fully formed team, without a doubt. And you know, I
Yeah.
guess in the meantime, they will do have potentially some new challengers. They also have not pinned the Usos, you know, the way that they have the New Day. So you know, there's
Oh.
things there. But yeah, I do think that the Shane Miz thing is either, well, a teaming, then maybe a breakup. Shane versus Miz is a match to do. So I guess yes, the McMahons are going to be around to have their own angles and you know
Oh.
build to matches. Because that was one thing about Paige. Unless something has changed, which is a reason or another reason for the change in her status, you know, Paige was never going to wrestle again. So there was no even there that there was no impetus to even go in that direction of her, you know, really involving herself heavily in an angle unto herself. But with Shane, obviously this is leading to him wrestling again. You know, Triple H, I'm positive he's not done in the ring.
Oh, right.
Vince definitely is.
Yeah.
And Stephanie is only in very, very special circumstances that she, yeah, she gets in the ring.
Yeah, I think that Stephanie's days in the ring are pretty much done. Like, I don't see her getting back in there, honestly. Like, like you said, it'd have to be a special occasion. I mean, the last special occasion was Ronda Rousey. I'm not completely sure where you go from there for special bout.
Right.
But yeah, two of the four will certainly at least be involved in periodic time storylines. But I do hope that at least in the GM sense that everyone, and like you said, it is just kind of left above what's actually happening. You know, I'm sure that, and you said it earlier, that they can't help themselves. So I'm sure there will be some tinkering within the system, but hopefully they can still manage themselves, because again, that's not, yeah, if that's what they're thinking we wanted is change, they are incorrect. So
no, I agree.
So and I'm trying to think, I guess, of some other specifics that, because we kind of went a little broad topic there while still talking about some of this stuff. Were any of those topics worth revisiting, or are there just some other things on the agenda here? And because I guess a lot of our examples were from SmackDown.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, I guess one aspect that they definitely played on both shows was, at least the addition of faces to, both shows. I would not imagine that, all, six persons who were, featured in the, new ad call-ups from NXT, are going to go to one brand. I think that that would be a tad lopsided. If it's 4-2 or something like that, I would not be surprised. In favor of Raw.
Right. Yeah.
Do we want to play who goes where, or do we want to just talk about each of these six people?
Let's just talk about each of these six people. I think, well, we've already known Lars Sullivan has been coming for a while, so I think we've not. I think we've talked enough about him, and Jeremy and I, you know, talked about him, you know, pretty extensively last week. Let's start with EC3, who was probably already, you know, WWE main roster ready. He was in the system before. He was, you know, a longtime independent guy, very, you know, pretty well experienced, had all those years on Impact. He's gotten to keep the Impact gimmick going, even though there's no, it's hard to explain why he is EC3 without having to talk about Aunt D.
Yeah, even though she's been on programming on the network.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you just say that he's from a well, yeah, once again. She's out there. She's available. They apparently have a good relationship now. If they ever,
It's kind of one of those things. Just like, why not go with it? Like, you've had Eric Bischoff on your shows, for God's sakes. You can't bury the hatchet with Dixie Carter enough to feature her on TV for a short stint.
Right. Yeah, but no, he is a guy who would probably, like an Elias, he's going to fit better on the main roster than he did in NXT. The faster paced ring style, you know, with a big emphasis on big moves, that's not his thing. So he has not, you know, made a great, you know, he hasn't really done much in NXT. Let's be honest.
Agreed.
So as I said, he's a guy. He was in their system. He was in their, you know, Florida developmental system, the original iteration of NXT as the faux reality competition show.
Yeah, and then that
weird era where it just went off the rails and was just on YouTube.
Oh, well, and he even got called up for a little bit there right before being released too, and going to Impact.
I have no memory of Derek Bateman on either of the main shows.
Yeah, he got some vignettes. They were at least vignettes on SmackDown. I'm not sure how much further. I think he only got a match or two, and then that was about it before they released him. And, yeah, I kind of agree with you. Like, his personality is gonna fit because he really even in his limited time there, and I'm not sure, have they used that segment or that little vignette of him coming home and taking off his suit in NXT?
I don't think so. that did feel new.
Okay, well, you know...
But maybe not.
Well, new or not, I guess I think it's good. I do not recall seeing it before, so I was just kind of wondering if maybe I had missed it along the line somewhere. But that kind of... yeah, I mean, I guess that just shows off his personality, and that should work well. Like you said, like he's going to be kind of like Elias, where, I mean, Elias still relies on his talking a lot more than his in-ring work, honestly.
Yeah.
There's nothing, obviously nothing wrong with that.
No. So I think he'll fit in better on the main roster. Next, let's go with Heavy Machine. Another act that maybe, once again, would be better off on the main roster, because they really have not been able to gain a lot of traction in NXT, because the standard of the tag team matches in NXT got so high with the Undisputed Era and their matches with, particularly with Mustache Mountain, that it just gets to the point where it's like, why do we want to put these two big dudes against these smaller heels? And
yeah, and they're a lot smaller heels.
And then the fact that Hanson and Rowe are actually better than Heavy Machinery, although I guess that begs the question, why aren't Hanson and Rowe going up? Although I guess, well, no, Heavy Machinery has been in the WWE system, I think, for quite a while. I don't have their exact years of starting. They seem like they were two, you know, bodybuilders, power lifters, who were, you know, one of those guys that were kind of picked out of a lineup type situation. They've been, you know, they've been developing these guys for years, and it's, in many ways, it's like an Authors of Pain type situation, where it's like, I guess should I get off the pot with them, you know, bring them up to the main roster and see what they can do.
Well, and yeah, again, there are bigger teams, like the Bar, like the Usos, like you said, like the, there's a lot of smaller guys on NXT, and kind of the big guy wrestlers fit better on the main roster as a general whole. And yeah, AOP, just because I don't know how much AOP and them interacted.
I think they had a match. I believe they did.
Yeah, I think they had a match, but I don't feel like they had like a long, drawn-out feud or anything like that. And I think it could be done, you know. Both teams provide enough size that, again, yeah, I think that they'll fit better on the main roster. That Dozovic, the dude just cracks me up. Like, I'm not sure that I'm ever going to be friends with that person, but... he really comes off as genuine with those weird segments and everything. It just it gets me laughing. I will say that. So I think that if they get to show that kind of personality, that they'll be okay too.
Yeah, I think Vince McMahon will certainly get a kick out of them, and They have a chance to be featured quite prominently in the tag team division, you know, the Raw tag team division, which is a dumpster fire, and then the SmackDown team division, which can be good, but, you know, oftentimes breaks down to the same three teams facing each other over and over again. Could use some new blood as well.
Well, I agree with you. I think when the traditional shakeup happens, one of those three teams, like,
been SmackDown the whole time.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy when they're like, oh, yeah, the Bar and Gallows and Anderson are moving over to SmackDown. And you're like, huh? New Day? Neither New Day or the Usos are moving? Like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, I mean, they really stacked SmackDown at the last shakeup, so they kind of need to right those wrongs this year. But I would think that Heavy Machinery, in a lot of ways, just because SmackDown's kind of crowded, would be better off on Raw, because like you said, it's a dumpster fire, and at least them and AOP, or them and even another team from NXT that I guess could be put in that category is they're from the Wasteland. Connor and Victor, the Ascension. I'm not saying they're great, but I mean, if they want another team on TV, aren't those two just kind of sitting around doing nothing right now?
Right, yes, indeed they are, yeah.
So, I mean, again, like, Heavy Machinery fits, to me, on Raw way better, especially if the Ascension kind of makes makes an appearance. So, and who... so that's Lars, EC3, Heavy Machinery, that makes four, and then I believe, oh yeah, we have, Lacey Evans.
She's maybe the most interesting one, because she is the least experienced. She's, you know, been featured at times on NXT, then at times, you know, off TV for weeks. She went through that period where it felt like she was wearing a different outfit every week. They were literally tweaking the gimmick on TV as they were going along.
Well, that's one of those things that I've got to admit is kind of hard to keep track of sometimes, because she does change outfits a lot. But I remember when I was doing the Art of Wrestling column a long time ago, at some point, it got so hard to keep track of wrestlers' gear, like, that they rarely wore it more than once. Now, I do feel like maybe that slowed down a little bit, but I guess I don't find it as strange when someone's tweaking a look all the time. Just because, and especially a lot of the ladies seem to like to switch out their gear frequently for different themes, and it, you know, it kind of all has the same look or the same like physical design, but they go with different color patterns and things of that nature. Because even when Bayley and Sasha kind of had matching gear, they both had the same look that they had had before. They just kind of had a matching color scheme.
Lacey Evans wasn't just color pattern jeans. Like.
Oh yeah.
Because remember, her first gimmick was totally based on her real life military experience, and now she's a 1950s housewife who will punch you in the face. the lady of NXT, which once again, she has not been featured prominently in actually a couple of months now. It feels like so.
Yeah, it's been a while.
She's the biggest question mark here, because she's the least experienced. She's never wrestled anywhere else outside of the WWE NXT system. She never got the strong push even in the NXT within NXT on TV. Yeah, no, it'll be interesting just to see what happens. Where she's got quality that was about her that they will like about her on the main roster. I think she'll get a good push. At least out of the gate, but then who knows? Sometimes with these NXT call ups, but I mean, Shan, gimmick wise and other factors, she seems right for the main roster, but there's just a complete lack of experience. But yeah, that factors in as well against her.
Yeah, and then I guess the last woman was Nikki Cross amongst the six. That was not a surprise, considering was she on TV twice on SmackDown?
Yeah, she got a match with Becky Lynch. And then, she just kind of got mixed in with the announcement of the Evolution pay-per-view that happened on Raw months back, and then didn't get a spot on Evolution.
Oh, right.
But yeah, no. Her call-up she's definitely the one that feels overdue. And, you know, that she's been in NXT a long time. She came in with a lot of, quite an quite a bit of, you know, independent experience in the ring. She, you know, thrived with pretty much everything they gave. She had to do in NXT. You know, she was part of Sanity. Then she got four on her own. She was a frequent challenger for the NXT Women's Championship. She did some great character work, both in her feud with Shayna Baszler, and then as the one who knew the truth about the attack on Aleister Black. You know, incredible character work there. Yeah, she's definitely. But they decide to put her with Sanity, who maybe looks like might be getting a new push, or putting her on her own. You know, either way, I think she'll succeed. Although if they separate her from Sanity on the main roster, one of them has to have a complete music change, because her music is just a jazzed up version of some of the Sanity theme.
Yeah, I think that having her might help Sanity some.
I think we'll do.
So I would be all for her being with them on SmackDown, because, and I guess that leaves, because I've only recommended three of the six for a brand. I don't care how they work the other ones. It just seems like she would, she fits with them, because even when she was in against Becky Lynch, she was playing the same kind of deranged character that would fit in with Sanity.
Yeah. But she did show some pretty good, strong babyface chops as well, as kind of like a more lovable, you know, lunatic.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess if you want to go that route, you go, you head her over to Raw, but I'm good with the heel and keeping Sanity somewhat, maybe a little more relevant. So there's those six coming, and I will admit, this is something that was on Raw that I probably underrated in my almost live, definitely half-assed review of Raw. There are two other names coming back, and they will certainly help fill a gigantic void that was left by Roman Reigns.
They absolutely, well, I don't even know if it's necessarily Roman Reigns, because it could be more, well, I know they left off with Kevin Owens being attacked by Bobby Lashley. I don't know if they're going to pick that up, you know, where they left off, because it's not like Bobby Lashley is with Leo Rush is particularly hot right now.
Right.
But, you know, Kevin Owens has been a heel his entire WWE run, main roster run, which is going at 4 years now, so it might be time for a change for him as a babyface, and Raw does. Yeah, you know what, right now, let's see. Raw maybe needs some more babyface help than on the heel side right now.
Yeah, honestly, they probably could. Of all strange things. Partly because of Reigns, partly just because they kind of are heel heavy. And even their baby faces are kind of heelish, to be honest with you. So I think Kevin Owens could fit in that. And plus, he's always kind of had a fairly solid positive reaction. Even, you know, some of the bigger things, obviously, I mean, he was with Elias when they got booed out of the arena in Seattle. But, you know, he's also had moments where the crowd's kind of with him, because he's just so damn entertaining that it's hard not to like him. Even though he does a very good job of being unlikable.
He does an excellent job of being unlikable, you're right. And Sami Zayn should definitely come back as a heel. Sami Zayn should definitely come back as a heel. I think he was doing a really good job as a heel. He was you know, a really annoying heel, a, you know, a good, you know, smaller man heel. You know, it was definitely working for him, and they had that, real, you know, featured him that prominently, particularly as a single away from Kevin Owens. I think that that should be, and I think that should be the game moving forward for both of them. I think they should be separate from each other. I mean, obviously they're both coming back to Raw, but they should not be a team, and nor should they be feuding with each other. I think they should, you know, come back, you know, in their own separate, you know, own separate characters, own separate angles, and go from there.
Yeah, it would be nice to get Sammy and Kevin away. As great as they are together, I think them working singles feuds would be even better. Because, yeah, I mean, they've had Owens, you know, at the top of the card, and it seems they've shown at least some habits of them wanting to put Sammy maybe a little further up on the card than they ever really have, honestly. But, yeah, those are definitely two faces that will help. And I would say that their promos were on Raw, so I would think that they're going back to Raw and not to SmackDown at all.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Yeah, so those promos were put there to, once again, you know, give off the aura that, you know, change is coming, you know, the stars are coming back, you know, the stars you missed, specifically stars you missed, are coming back, you know, please don't stop watching.
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of the funny thing, because they've already, because I felt like last week they were just like, yep, our product's garbage, and Seth Rollins is going to be the one talking about it. So I was, in some ways, a little surprised that they doubled down on the, yep, we realize it still sucks. And I think that that was, though I may have been a little more angry than normal, I still do stand by most of what I said about Raw. Like, I mean, Raw was the same thing that they were doing before. Like, there wasn't anything new. Like, other than them saying that those two guys are coming back and another six people are being called up, like, to me, that isn't the change that they need, on at least on Raw. Like, again, for the most part, SmackDown's run pretty well. Like, could they use more people on SmackDown? Could it be fine-tuned? Yeah. For the most part, though, like, their women's feud was the best at TLC. Their men's championship match was better at TLC, considering that the Universal title wasn't even defended. Which, you know, again, I guess I'm okay with Brock Lesnar not being there every pay-per-view. But that kind of leaves, you know, and I guess maybe this is worth talking about just because it got the "this is boring" chant. Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. I will reiterate what I tweeted earlier today when I was watching this match. Has there been a great Dean Ambrose match that you think about?
That's not a good question. I mean, he's had some really good matches. His tag matches teaming with Seth are probably some of his best matches over the last couple of years. I mean, a few of his matches with Seth were really good, yeah. You know, in their first iteration of their feud, which is over 4 years ago now.
Yeah, I guess that's one of those things. Like, I like Dean Ambrose. I think the new character is good for him. It still led to some of the weirdest commentary in an announce booth ever in the history of professional wrestling. But you know, overall, I think as a whole, it's a good thing. But that really, you know, that was the main championship match for the Raw side, and it was, I guess it was just okay. Like, and I guess that's what made me get to thinking about it. Like, Seth Rollins has been destroying matches all year long, and then all of a sudden Dean Ambrose comes along, and I wouldn't call it a dud because I think that that would be completely over-exaggerating the quality of that match. But, you know, I definitely AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan was better, and the ladies' match was better. Like, I mean, they were kind of properly ordered on TLC, honestly.
Well, that's the thing with TLC was the show was just too long. I mean, it's a testament to the women in the TLC match. That match, you know, got over as well as it did. You know, it was the match that most anticipated match. People, you know, waited for it all night. They, in particular, they were waiting for Becky Lynch. I mean, that, you know, that's a sign of, you know, talent being looked at as truly stars when, you know, you headline at, you know, a long show like that and keep people's attention and build them out to the and really build them up to the peak of the entire show. But Ambrose and Rollins were in a tough situation. It had already been a long show. The match came on 3 hours into the show. You know, and at that point, people were just getting restless. They wanted that TLC, that women's TLC match to close the show. And then Ambrose and Rollins went really long. It was said 23 minutes, and it definitely it felt longer to me watching live. You know, it wasn't. I mean, it was a fine match. Here's my thing. I'm gonna put it more on Seth Rollins than Dean Ambrose. Seth Rollins is a great big moves wrestler. He has incredible dynamic offense. But when it comes to, from a character standpoint, within the match, heading into a situation that should be a violent grudge match, he should be really angry. He shouldn't just be trying to get all his spots in. Everything he does should be tighter, stiffer. His punches should be on point, his strikes. And I feel like he approached it as just another match.
Yeah, I
Without the
guess.
intensity raised.
Yeah, I could see that as a valid valid criticism, and I guess I'd be kind of interested to see if Seth Rollins, just because I mean, he seemed kind of genuine. He's like, you know what, people chanted what they chanted. That's on me, and honestly, it felt pretty genuine when he said that. And you know, you saying that could be something that he's thinking to himself currently. You know, maybe it was part of the script, maybe, but again, I think that when there's a genuineness to it, it kind of comes across in wrestling, and that to me felt fairly genuine.
It did, yeah. That match, yeah, the match could have used to be shorter, more intense. The show in general could have used at 3 hours with all the filler cut out. That was the best pay-per-view of the year. As it is, it was pretty. It's you know, probably top five, but
Right.
without a doubt, it was the best show of the year. If at 3 hours, you know, that was, to me, that was the best pay-per-view of the year, and more is not more is not more, or more is not better.
Yeah. Sometimes they could they could cut back a little bit on the pay-per-views and probably be okay. So yeah, I mean, I guess I did think that that was kind of an interesting happening that tied into Raw and TLC there. Is there anything else worth digging into before we mosey on out of here?
I think we've dug in pretty deep.
And I guess to me, like I honestly do, like I'm happy that they're going to feature some new faces and be getting a couple of new faces back. But I also do hope that they truly do something different, especially on the Raw side of things. Like I do think that it'd be good in general because, I mean, it is kind of strange. Like a lot of, I guess a lot of people have mentioned it, that the WWE is more viable financially now than they were during the Attitude Era. And it's kind of crazy too. Like I guess I think of like that George Kittles from the NFL, from the 49ers, saying, "Hey, I need to get out of this press conference because I need to go to San Jose for TLC." Like that's kind of advertising that, like, even 10 years ago. Like I know that there was wrestling stuff kind of involved, but. Like, there was no one at a press conference saying that they needed to go to the wrestling pay-per-view that night. Like, there is this weird kind of dichotomy going on with the WWE that it certainly isn't translated in ratings. But there is, like, this. It permeates culture a lot of places. Like, I'm not even necessarily looking for it sometimes, and the WWE pops up.
You're right. No. There is a. It's a. It is an interesting world we're in right now, where it seems like, while wrestling, I mean, the ratings tell the story.
Right.
Is at its lowest watch period in history. It's what it is, and but at the same time, as the old sports writers and entertainment writers who derided wrestling for being fake, age out, and people going to, are aging into those positions, as well as, young male athletes and female athletes for that matter, who grew up as WWE fans, particularly, children of the Attitude Era. While still, even if they don't necessarily, watch all of the current product, they still have a healthy respect for wrestling. No, I think that wrestling, it's I've noted it myself. It seems like on the surface, wrestling should be considered less popular than ever.
Oh.
Just looking at the ratings, but it
Right.
feels like in the general public has more respect for wrestling, at for what it is as an entertainment.
Yeah. So it is kind of weird. So it'll be interesting. Like I said, like I do hope that there's some genuine change that they have afoot. I do not feel like they showed a lot of it this week, other than some new faces. But maybe that's enough to freshen up the product moving forward. Plus, there is always the Royal Rumble bounce that I have said has been a thing for quite some time at this point.
Yeah.
I do think that this time of the year tends to drag more than any other, and I guess in some ways we shouldn't be surprised that this year it's drug. Kind of just like normal. So with that, I will talk about this. I was glad that I bought this 4-pack of Platform Beer Company's Emo. It's a barrel-aged s'mores imperial stout. It is fantastic. The marshmallow flavor comes through, the bourbon comes through. There is definitely a healthy chocolatiness to the beer itself, that really brings home that s'mores flavor. Yeah, they are available in, well, they're out of Cleveland, have a brewery here in Columbus, and I think they're gonna have another one soon in Cincinnati or maybe Kentucky. So there are plenty of locales to catch Platform Beer Company. And I suggest if somehow you see this at your finest purveyor of beers that that you go and get it. So with that, I suppose I will say I'm at Frango 11. That is at Chris Calamita. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to us. And Chris, final word?
All right. Well, I'm sure. Well, will there be a show next week? I think that's a good question, because if there is, I won't be on it.
Yeah, that I will say is probably something that is a possibility Wednesday evening, maybe Thursday, if someone is up for it. If I'm not, recording a post-Christmas OPA with Ken on Thursday, which is our usual day of recording. So yeah, I don't know. There might be a show, there might not be a show. Everyone that celebrates Christmas, Merry Christmas. Those who do not, I believe Hanukkah is over at this point, so I hope you have had a happy Hanukkah. If you celebrate another holiday, go enjoy that shit. And I'm out of here.